a very short summary. It's very important though. Speaks about being in the Sefer HaGavot by Gehuda. Take a look at it. Also, he makes reference to Sefer Bereishis is Sefer HaYetzira, right? Sefer HaYetzira explains that that's the book discussing the Yetzira of the nation, the Yetzira of the creation, based upon the Avos, the actions of the Avos, from Asar Avot Siman Panim. The actions of the Avos affect the future generations, and now this Sefer begins starting to see that come into action. Meaning, this is the Sefer which begins the life after the Yetzirah, after the nation was formed through the personalities of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And then we get to a point where Bnei Yisrael stands in Mitzrayim, and now they're going to have to be birthed as a nation. So if you think about it for one moment, where did Bnei Yisrael begin? In
multiple places.
When I mean Bnei Yisrael, where did Avraham Avinu? Where did this Yetzirah begin? Yetzirah began right in Chutzlart, right? And it began from Mitchila Ovde Avodah Zarah Yilavosim. Right? What do we say? Machlokes Rav Shmuel on the Mishnah in Masechet Pesachim, which says Matchil B'Gnus Masayim B'Shevach. We start with Gnus. We start with something not positive, let's call it, and we end with Shevach in the Seder of the Haggadah. And Machlokes Rav Shmuel, whether that Gnus is mitchila of the avodah zarah yuhoseinu, or whether it's avodimayinu. I would tell you, in essence, and this is possibly why we pask in both deos, we do both, is because mitchila of the avodah zarah yuhoseinu is sefer bereishis. That's where we began, where Avram ultimately gets to Eretz Yisrael. Afterwards, Yaakov Avinu, the last of the avos, goes back to Chutzlart. In order now, after we had the Yetzirah, and now we have the nation, now we have the Am, in order to develop that nation, to start the nation from the same humble beginnings. This time, Avadim Hayinu, the part of the Mitzrayim, where it's not just that we worked hard, but it's also we were affected by the Mitzrayim, and we had to go through our own type of Avram Avinu finding himself, Avram Avinu finding HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then building a nation based upon it. So that's seemingly, or one might venture to say that that's a little bit of the message of Sefer Shmos here. Simultaneously to the building of the nation is the building of individuals. Obviously the nation is made up of numerous individuals, but what's very important is the Sefer. The discussion, let's say, of Yetzias Mitzrayim is also the discussion of a specific family centered around Moshe Rabbeinu, but to a certain degree even his family, where Moshe Rabbeinu himself goes through that same type of process. Mitzila of the Avodazara Hayu Avoseinu. Obviously his parents were big tzaddikim, right? He was an Ish Mibes Levi, Lakach Bat Levi, right? They themselves were great people, but Moshe Rabbeinu spent his formative years in the palace, in Paro, the height of all destructive behavior. So the question is, number one, what made it that Moshe Rabbeinu became the individual chosen to become the leader of the Jewish people? Right? And secondly, and this is very important for us, what aspects of Moshe Rabbeinu's personality did HaKadosh Baruch Hu hold dear? And because of that, anyone who, and again, all of you want to, but anyone who wants to become a leader, specifically of the Jewish people, is going to have to try to model their behavior based upon the ultimate leader the Jewish people always had, ever had, and that's Moshe Rabbeinu. Zichru Toras Moshe Avdi, right? We learn Toras Moshe. So if we're learning Toras Moshe, so we want to know who Moshe Rabbeinu is and how to become a leader in the same regard. So Sefer Parsha Shemos is very necessary for this. So firstly, we know Moshe Rabbeinu was born, and Moshe Rabbeinu, according to the Medrash, quoted in Rashi, was not interested in drinking the milk of any of the Egyptian maidservants, right? Even though it was customary then that people would even give their child to a meineket, to realize not everyone then, in order for a woman to nurse a child, so the woman has to be fed very well, and the woman has to be healthy enough to be able to produce enough milk and the like. So evidently in the past it wasn't always true either. Some women were wealthy and weren't interested in it, and other people not only were they wealthy and not interested in it, but they weren't capable of it. They weren't capable, and therefore they used to have women who were nursemaids. It was common, and therefore they brought the Egyptian nursemaid. Moshe Rabbeinu was not interested in doing so, and because of this, they realized that he was Mialdei HaIvriyim, etc. Rashi says, "Shechzirato mitziot harbei linuk v'lo yanak." Because in the future he's going to speak with the Shechin. Now this Medrash is actually quoted the Halacha, quoted by the Ran, which is brought the Halacha in the Ramon Yoredei and Simute, that you shouldn't feed a child, you shouldn't feed a baby from a non-Jewish nursemaid, because a non-Jewish woman eats machalas asuros, which the part of the milk is created based upon the nutrition of the woman. She's eating non-kosher food, and therefore, like Moshe Rabbeinu, you shouldn't be eating this thing. Comes Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, and Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky asks a ban kasha. What's the ban kasha? It says in the Medrash, why did Moshe Rabbeinu not drink? Why? Mishum she'asid l'daber im Hashem. Ask the question of Chanan.
So
not every child. Who else is going to be Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu was Pelpa, Daberbo. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. That's not us. It wasn't even Miriam. It wasn't even Aaron. Alright, Lo Chein Abdi Moshe, V'chol Beisi Neman. Moshe Rabbeinu is different. How is this applicable to everyone? So Yaakov Kamenetsky says a major yesod in chinuch, which is applicable when you guys are going to have kids. It's applicable for the way you're machanik yourselves now. And that is, that you have to raise every child as if he is possible, that he could be the one who is also the rabbi machine. I mean, you don't come and say, oh well, yeah, my kid, it's okay to be a Beinuni, it's okay to be this. You come and you say, no, my kid, I want to give him all the spiritual opportunities. When it comes to financial opportunities, you find people always willing, every financial opportunity, everything, every tutor, etc. When it comes to spiritual opportunities, sometimes we say, okay, it's okay if he's good, and we wouldn't even want him to go too far. But asid ledabri mashchina, asid ledabri mashchina means that a person realizes that Moshe Rabbeinu was brought up in a specific way. We're going to see in a moment he was definitely brought up in the opposite way. That he was brought up in a specific way to enable him to be given this opportunity of asid ledabri mashchina. And we don't want to take it away from our children, we certainly don't want to take it away from ourselves as well. It's number one. Beautiful Yisod of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. But, and here's the big but, Moshe Rabbeinu afterwards goes to the house of Paro. And the house of Paro, in essence, is Moshe Rabbeinu having to make a decision. Now, which decision does he make? So the Medrash tells us beautifully, and think about it. Think about this decision. The Medrash says that Paro wanted to test if he's a Jew or not. So what did he say? He said, if he goes through after all these jewels, or if he goes after this boiling coals, right? Burning coals. And Moshe Rabbeinu was about to go after the jewels, like every little kid would do, and comes the Malach, and goes and hits him, and makes him a Kvad Lashon. Nachon? That's what the Medrash says. What's pshat, my friends? So I'll tell you one pshat now, and if we have time, I'll tell you a different pshat when we finish. And that is, that pshat number one is, in order to succeed in the house of Paro and in life in general, what does a person need to do? A person needs to not be blinded by what? By chitzonim. Right? By the exterior. By the way things look. In order for Moshe Rabbeinu to succeed, Moshe Rabbeinu had to be able to have a pnimius. He had to be able to realize this coal on the outside, it looks like a coal, right? It's not pretty, but on the inside, what is emanating from it? Heat, chom, energy. The jewels, on the other hand, on the outside, they look very nice, but in the inside, what are they? They're nothing. They're covered over to look nice. Right, Moshe Rabbeinu, in order to succeed as a leader, And as a model Jew, someone has to be in tune with Pnimius. But my friends, and this is the big thing, after Moshe Rabbeinu goes out from the palace, they listen to the psukim. Vayigdal hayelet, vatavir lebat paro, vayhila levein, vatikra shimo Moshe, vatomer kimin hamayim mishiti. Vayhi bayamim ahem, vayigdal Moshe, he grew up, vayetze elechad, he went out to his brothers. Interesting pasuk. Who were his brothers? His brothers were the people in, right, in the palace. No. He saw their difficulties. Literal definition we'll see in a moment. This is day number one that he goes out. What happened? Moshe Rabbeinu went out to his brothers. He saw their suffering and he even protected them, even to kill a mitzvah. What's pshat? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says beautifully, "Vayar b'sivlota, Natan einav v'libo v'yot meitzali." What did Moshe Rabbeinu do? Moshe Rabbeinu took his eyes and his heart, and he tried to feel for them. Vayar b'sivlota. Why? Think about it. Moshe Rabbeinu is living in the palace. It's like you guys. You go and you walk down, you know, a street where there are slums, and you see some guy's mom. So you might feel bad for him for a second, but you don't go and look and say, "I'm standing here until I really feel bad for this guy." As far as you have nothing to do with that guy. Moshe Rabbeinu is living in the palace. What's he supposed to be doing? Why do you think they let him go out? He's supposed to be going and saying, "Taskmaster, you didn't get that guy. He's not doing his work fast enough. Hit him." Right? It's probably told here, you're one of the princes. Go, see this whole great army of workers that we have. And Moshe Rabbeinu goes and he identifies, "No, these are my brothers. As much as they don't look like my brothers, these are my brothers, Vayar b'sivlotam." And he goes to try to feel their pain. The other mefarshim have similar lashonos. And he says, was it this one? No. Vayar b'sivlotam natan libo l'ra'ot be'oni achiv. Right? Vayar ish mitzri makeh ish ivri me'achav. U'mitzad ha'achva hit'orer linakeh. Moshe Rabbeinu succeeded in seeing the brotherhood, the relationship that he had with his brothers, which led him to be willing to put his life on the line and to choose allegiance. At this moment, Moshe Rabbeinu said, "I choose allegiance to the Jewish people. I'm not Paro, not the one who raised me, not with all the wonderful things I had, etc." The next day, Vayitzei Bayom Hashini, Vinei Shnei Anashim Ivrim Nitzim. What does Moshe Rabbeinu see now? He sees infighting amongst the Jews. And Moshe Rabbeinu could come and say, as he killed them both. But Moshe Rabbeinu again, what's his feeling? Achva, brotherhood. Vayom Rasha Lama Tekei Reyecha. Why are you hitting your friend? Don't you understand? And then he gets what every Jewish leader has received. What is that? Lip. You know? Who do you think you are? You're going and telling us what to do, etc. And Moshe Rabbeinu realizes that because the Jewish people he was trying to help are not ready, so then everyone's going to know about this. The Jewish people aren't going to be able to keep for themselves, and now I'm not only going to have to fight the Mitzri attacking the Jews, I'm not only going to have to fight the Jews fighting each other, but I'm also going to have to fight people wanting to kill me specifically. And Moshe Rabbeinu runs away, etc. If we had time, we'd speak about all the different events. But one thing, firstly, is very clear. Moshe Rabbeinu succeeded in making the decision of who his identity really was. Moshe Rabbeinu defined himself as a Jew, brothers, and even though he had to sit there, vayar v'sivlotam, he had to look at them and stare at them and feel their pain. Sometimes we have trouble feeling the pain of a fellow Jew. You have to develop it and work on it in order to feel it. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu himself is later chosen, later in the parsha, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be the leader of the Jewish people. Why? So the Medrash says, Moshe Yaru Etzon Yitro Chotno Vayinhaget atzon achar medbar vayavo har lokim choreva. How do you get there? How do you get there? So the Medrash says that one of the tzon ran away. One of the tzon ran away, and Moshe Rabbeinu ran after him and carried him back. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, someone who cares this much about his sheep is ready to be a roeh tzon Yisrael. He's ready to shepherd the Jewish people. Moshe Rabbeinu, before he was capable of becoming Rabbeinu, becoming our teacher, learning Kol HaTorah Kula, teaching it to the Jewish people, what did he have to do? He had to go through this process of developing Avos Yisrael. And Avos Yisrael is one of the necessary prerequisites for being a successful Jew. The Mesilas Yesharim, I remember the Perek Yutes, has a fascinating lashon. Ein Hakadosh Baruch Hu ohev, ela l'misha ohev es Yisrael. Hakadosh Baruch Hu does not love anyone unless they love the Jewish people. And Moshe Rabbeinu had to start with that. And Moshe Rabbeinu was an Am Haaretz, right? But he was chosen as a leader because of his Avos Yisrael. And this is something that Moshe Rabbeinu had to struggle with. This Avos Yisrael, when even Bnei Yisrael weren't fully willing to accept him. Moshe Rabbeinu was called names according to the Medrash, right? Moshe Rabbeinu also, for sure, had Korach, Datan, Aviram, other people saying, you know, Lama Himitam as Am Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu had to deal with tons of difficulties. The only way to be able to do that as a leader of Yisrael is to develop this Avos Yisrael. So one quick idea, but this will end. Time's there. The Dran is a beautiful drasha, and the drasha is Haran, where the Ran asks the question. He says, how could it be that Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kvad Pel Chvad Hashem? Moshe Rabbeinu was the Shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to go to the superpower of the day, to go to Egypt, and to take the Yisrael out of himself. Now, if you were a shliach of someone, so seemingly, if that person would get the best shliach he can. And therefore, what would you think? If someone's a shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is claiming to be the creator of the world, the one who controls things, you'd send Mr. Perfect. You'd send someone who's totally perfect. You would not send Moshe Rabbeinu, who's kfad pel, kfad lashon. He can't even express himself the simple pshat. Why would you send him? So asked the Ran. He says it's a pagam takodesh baruch hu. That this is ki'ilu, the best shliach he has is someone who has difficulty speaking. So the Ran explains beautifully. What does the Ran say? The Ran says, how do you know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim? Maybe Moshe Rabbeinu was very good. Maybe Moshe Rabbeinu was a sweet talker. Maybe Moshe Rabbeinu knew, you know, there are certain people to get what they want out of anyone. They know how to speak. They know how to get their way. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to make it clear. I'm sending a shliach, and it's not my shliach who's going to do it. It's me who's going to do it. My shliach is my shliach, but I'm showing you and I'm showing the world it's not because of any specific, unique way of speaking that he has. But if so, why is he my shliach? He's my shliach because of his character. He's my shliach because of the person he is. He's not a sweet talker, but he's doing my message. Maron and Rabona, now let's look right back at that Medrash. What's the Medrash say? The Medrash says that he went and he took the coals. What happened when he took the coals? He put his... Have you guys ever learned Rashi? Right? No. Put his hands on the coals and then he burns and put it on his mouth and he burns his mouth. Right? Learn Rashi, right? And he says, so according to, if you take the Joshua Saran's idea, so what's it mean? It means that was the act which in essence made him roly to become the shliach of the Jewish people. Moshe Rabbeinu's act was redefined originally as the choice of I am choosing to be
Pnimius.
I'm choosing Pnimius, right? I'm choosing what things are all about. Simultaneously making him into a Kvad Pel Chvad Lashon, while at the same time letting that what would seemingly be viewed as a limitation of using it in order to be the proper shliach. That's the message of true Jewish leadership. Focusing on the pnimius at the beginning, developing avos Yisrael, developing your character, etc. Translating that and taking all the things that seemingly make you incapable of being a leader. Number one, your upbringing. He was in Beis Paro. Wherever you guys came from, it's not as bad as Beis Paro. Simultaneously, he had physical limitations. But no, taking those physical limitations and using them dafka to be the reason why you're going to be the shliach, overcoming obstacles, developing ava, and being Moshe Rabbeinu. Well, we must conclude that the Rambam says that every single person has bechira chafshis. Everyone could be as bad as Yeravam ben Nevat or as good as Moshe Rabbeinu. So now you guys have that mission to be as good as Moshe Rabbeinu. Say to you. Thank you.